believe, Nate, are we going in order here? So this would be the operating budget request performance level. Now, importantly, this is a big one for us. This is just a briefing, and there will likely be questions from commissioners. So we aren't going to take action on this item this meeting.
That's correct, Vice Chair Baker. Yeah, thank you. We can go ahead and get started if you're ready.
Go ahead.
Great. So on this one, because Morgan's mic tends to kind of come in and out a little bit, I'll go ahead and try to present this material, but we're going to call on Morgan as a lifeline if you have any questions. He's very familiar with the details on this package. Next slide, Morgan. So today we're going to present both our performance level or policy level requests that are enhancements for next biennium as well as reductions. When we thought about for 2021 legislative session, really thought about, well, what would be the criteria for pursuing enhancements during a pretty lean budget climate, and really wanted to identify, are there those emergent needs? Are there packages that relate to job creation? And are there ideas that we just have for following through on commitments, either from past legislative sessions or on implementing commission policies? The other item I want to call out is all the requests that we're talking about here, other than one small one, is an expenditure authority of a restricted account. Everything else is state general fund. So we're not proposing any changes to fees or anything like that. This would all be a GFS, state general fund. We'll take each of these one at a time. But just wanted to call out here these eight packages total to almost $15 million of state general fund, and we'll go through them here each one. The first, hey,
Nate, this is Barbara. There are likely to be some questions from commissioners on this agenda item. Would you prefer to have them as you go through these items individually, or would it be easier if we save them for later?
Why don't we kind of do it in groups? The way I envision walking through the performance level packages, I'll walk through the enhancements. Maybe we'll take questions then. Then I'll walk through the OFM assignment for a 15% reduction. I'll pause there. And then we have some other shortfalls in other accounts, and maybe we can take questions on those. Does that seem okay, Vice Chair?
That works well for me. So we will do the best we can to stick with that protocol. Okay. Commissioners, if you have burning questions during Nate's presentation, please raise your hand and Nikki will call on you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Vice Chair Baker. Next slide, Morgan. So the first enhancement request that we're proposing is an investment for aquatic invasive species prevention and enforcement. This is really to we got some money this current biennium. Some of it was one time and expires, and some for zebra quagga in 2020, we actually had an ongoing appropriation of $400,000 a year that got vetoed. So this squarely falls within the emergent issue, big impacts to ecosystems. And so we're asking for $2.8 million for us to do that early detection, monitoring, and management, as well as to increase our check station enforcement, particular for zebra quagga mussels. The next enhancement request also is a commitment made during the governor's killer whale task force and a bill that was passed by the 2019 legislature, which provided us new ability to have civil authority on our hydraulic project approvals. So this is when individuals are conducting construction work in waterways, and rather than coming at this issue from a criminal perspective, we're wanting to hire staff that can help with compliance to ensure that folks are meeting the terms of the permit and see if we can address the issues before they escalate further. So we're asking for $2.5 million of state general fund to help with this important area. Another package that we have, we've titled Evergreen Jobs, and this will this is the operation operating budget side, and there's a complementary capital budget request for a grant program. This is to do some of the items that was talked about during the director's report and commission comments about investments in habitat at schoolyards, habitat projects at home, trying to make some enhancements to elevate that environmental baseline, even within suburban and suburban areas. One of the ways that we're looking at doing this is partnering with the Washington Conservation Corps and having this be a bit of a jobs program of having those crews help deliver and implement this program, as well as we're looking at bringing on WCC crews to conduct work on department lands. This would really be to help enhance our recreational trails and other facilities, signage, et cetera, to make our lands even more welcoming and get folks outside. Another enhancement that we're looking at is some habitat commitments that were identified in part of the North of Falcon co-manager discussions. We're looking at an investment to do the science and riparian work for the net ecological gain, as well as doing some of the fish in, fish out watershed monitoring work and pit tag monitoring to see, are some of these habitat improvements actually working? We need to get that baseline established so we can assess change going forward. Next slide. We have a decision package to help implement the commission's policy on the Columbia River. This would be $1 million request to essentially provide some seed money for phase one of a buyback of non-tribal gill nets, in particular an emphasis on the blackberry licenses, that is the licenses that a commercial fisher pays a reduced amount with a commitment to not fish the license within that season or that calendar year. You're going to be hearing more about this, I believe, at the agenda item later this afternoon when you discuss your commissioner, the commission policy on Columbia River. Another enhancement that we're proposing is $2.6 million of state general fund to improve our ability to monitor fisheries. We have some electronic monitoring components for coastal crab populations. This is a carry kind of a part two of a request that we had this past session. The commission had been briefed from our Steelhead Advisory Group about a Quicksilver initiative. So we have some funding that we're requesting to improve steelhead monitoring, as well as spawning surveys. And lastly, as part of the Governor's Killer Whale Task Force, there was some one-time investment for us to be able to do zooplankton monitoring in Puget Sound. We get an EPA grant for the first fiscal year, and this would balance out the second year of the biennium to make sure that that long-term data set continues. The last two enhancements, and then I'll pause to see if there's any questions. We have a $2.2 million request for marine mammal management. This has three different components. One is just to have some firm funding in place for our marine mammal research scientists to conduct pinniped population monitoring, as well as being able to respond to marine mammal strandings. We have a request for ongoing funding for us to bolster our work that we're doing on the Columbia River for pinniped management. We received about half of what we needed as a one-time proviso in the 2020 supplemental. That funding will expire, and it was contingent on the National Marine Fisheries Service approving an application that we submitted along with the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission member tribes, Idaho and Oregon, to increase the number of animals that we're removing, not just at Bonneville Dam, but through across tributaries dumping into the Columbia. And it would include work to remove stellar sea lions in addition to California. And then lastly, this decision package include some funding as pass-through to be able to monitor the effectiveness of some of the new vessel regulations, both in terms of for all boaters, but in particular, we're going to be presenting to the commission through this fall, and I believe it's on your year-at-a-glance calendar for December, the new rules associated with commercial whale watch licenses. And Dr. Gatos had mentioned some of that in his public comments this morning. The last enhancement is a request for increase of expenditure authority to access revenue that's sitting in an account that's dedicated towards wildlife rehab. This is a really neat grant program. It's primarily pass-through money, but this would help with some disease monitoring and grants for our rehab partners. So I'll pause here to see if there's any questions on any of the about $15 million of enhancements that we're proposing.
Hey, Nate, it looks like we've got Commissioner Graybill, Thorburn, and McIsaac.
Okay.
Nate, thank you. And Morgan, thank you. I probably just a comment on the AIS proposal. I was disappointed to see that get removed from the budget at the last minute in this last session. This is really important to our state. The potential for a zebra mussel contamination of our waterways is very serious. If commissioners would investigate that a little bit, it's a very scary proposition that these would arrive in our state. I passed through the station last fall, and they had already had 19 incidents where they needed to decontaminate boats. And so it is a real threat. We are stopping it, and I really would encourage to do whatever we can to get that replaced in our budget. One other question is, I understand the pinniped management does not include any efforts in Puget Sound. Is that correct?
Madam Vice Chair and Commissioner Graybill, the marine mammal management component would have some base funding for our research scientists. That individual right now is retired, but we've had that FTE on a variety of different soft funding and grants. And so sometimes it's really hard for us to engage on some of the Puget Sound or Outer Coast work unless there's a grant in that area. And so this would allow us to be a little bit more nimble and be more engaged in some of that work in Puget
Sound.
That's
great, yeah, because we have a serious problem in Puget Sound as well, as I think most people know. And the permit from National Marine Fisheries, have we got the permit in hand, or when do you anticipate getting that?
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner Graybill. So the application under the new 120F authority of the Marine Mammal Protection Act, we submitted that in May of 2019. Mm-hmm. This past May, NMFS had convened the Pinniped Task Force, and they are that they have now indicated that the task force report and findings has been submitted to the NMFS regional administrator, and that starts the clock. So I would anticipate sometime early this fall, we will understand the fate of that permit request and hopefully be issued a permit. And then just to touch briefly, Commissioner Graybill, on your comments on the aquatic invasive species decision package, that has some components that would go towards a European green crab response on the Straits and Puget Sound.
Okay.
It have a big component for zebra quagga mussels, and a portion of it also would go towards northern pike suppression. That was some of the one-time money that expires here at the end of this fiscal year.
All right, Nate, thank you very much.
Go ahead, Kim.
Okay. Nate just answered my question. It was about the AIS and that it was more than for just mussels. And then I'll point out that the recently retired marine mammal pinniped scientist was our WAFWA award winner, Steve Jeffries. So
anyway, just worth noting, we've lost a really high quality person who's worked on PennFed for a long time for us.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Nikki. Let's see, I got a couple of different questions here, but maybe I would start by thanking Nate for the briefing earlier in the week. And this business of why are we considering add-ons when we're also considering cuts in just a moment came on as a little bit of a eureka moment during that briefing. And while it seems to seem contrary, if you're going to have cuts coming up, why would you be asking for additions now? And are you displacing any of the cuts later? You know, maybe what is listed here as the Quicksilver steelhead monitoring surveys, it might be an example. Later, we're going to see some reduction in spawning ground surveys and monitoring and this and that. And I know the Quicksilver initiative is yet to be worked through the committee process and get to the commission table. But, you know, I would probably support more steelhead spawning surveys, whether it has the name Quicksilver on there or not. But we are going to talk in a moment about cutting them. So why does it make sense here? Well, first of all, it is allowed in the governor's process and the legislative process. It's allowed. And if you don't ask, you're never going to receive. So we should be doing this. And I think it's also reasonable from an executive decision-making perspective that if you're asking for 15% cuts from all the agencies and Fish and Wildlife Department has some excellent ideas. Instead of taking a 10% cut from everybody else, maybe you might take a 15% cut from Agency X to fund these good ideas. So with that prelude, I want to ask a couple of questions that get to maybe adding onto the requests a little bit. So on slide number 6, there is the Columbia River policy matter of $1 million. And so it's been brought to my attention that during the process that's working with the folks on what to do, the $1 million had been associated with the amount that would go to what you're calling the Blackberry effort. Now there's something about of the million, 300,000 would be taken for administrative costs. And so my question is, as long as we're in this beginning stage of asking, is there any problem with asking for 1.4 so that the original intent of putting 1 million toward this purpose is achieved on the ground? And so let me ask that question before I get to any of the other add-ons.
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner McIsaac, yes, we can follow up with you and look at the proportion and details of what would be in that deck pack. But if that's something where the commission wants to make sure that there's $1 million of direct ability to implement the buyback, then yes, we could increase that one accordingly.
Yeah. Okay. On another one that's not on your list, and maybe it was, it has to do with the southern resident killer whale prey emphasis. Now, southern resident killer whale showed up on one of your slides, I think, somewhere. But if it didn't, let me just say that if we're in the mode of asking for things, you know, we have this proposal that I don't know if it's exactly the same commitment as the North of Falcon habitat emphasis business, but we have a proposal to move forward as quickly as we can for some prey emphasis in terms of hatchery produced Chinook for killer whales. And since we put that 50 million smolt proposal forward, I guess there's been at least one additional adult killer whale that's gone from the pod. And I don't know if that's a net loss of one or whatever, but it certainly hasn't got significantly better. And so I wondered about a new category that might have a little bit of money in there for accelerated planning. I know we've got $1 million in the capital budget to do some planning. And maybe, you know, maybe $1 million or so for some opportunistic production in areas. We're going to talk a little bit later about a whole bunch of cuts to Chinook of specific stocks that migrate to where the killer whales would be taking advantage of them. And while I'll probably end up arguing against that later, there may still be some areas for opportunistic production for killer whales. So maybe I'll just, I don't know if that's a, maybe I'll ask the question about coming up with new ideas that aren't on your list, I presume are okay to discuss. I wanted to throw that out for a seated discussion and get back to it after public comment. But in general, if we have an idea here for an additional enhancement matter, now is the time to bring it up. Is that right?
Yes, yes, please, Commissioner McIsaac. And thanks for the question. I think kind of going back in maybe order of some of the comments, when we submit our performance level packages to the governor's office, we will be submitting them in priority order. And what we're picturing doing is indicating that not, you know, here's the reductions that we'll brief you on here shortly, but the reductions would be a higher priority for and continuing to invest in and actually not taking those reductions. And then we would park the enhancements and kind of the new work, new money would come next. In terms of the killer whale prey, we did receive a $500,000 proviso in the operating budget, one-time money to look at the new facilities. We're going to be going through the contract exemption process try to advance that project. That report is due to the legislature, I believe, at the end of the calendar year. So we're going to miss the opportunity to try to influence the results of that or have the results of that report to influence either our submittal through the commission process or really even to the governor's budget. But it will be available and something that we can talk through with legislators next January. In terms of an additional request for either increasing planning or increasing production. Yes, if the commission would like to go that direction and be able to have that deliberation this morning, that will provide time for us. There's a lot of work that goes in each of these decision packages. And so if there's another kind of concept or theme that we need to flesh out, having that guidance early, we can get started working on it and present that for a final decision in August and then submittal to the governor's office in September.
Okay. Well, thank you. Maybe just two more things that are very short. On this slide here, marine mammal management, I had the same question that Commissioner Graybill did about what Commissioner Anderson spoke to at the onset of the meeting. And I'll just leave it up to Commissioner Anderson in a moment to discuss whether or not some supplementation of this is appropriate here. The other question I had with Puget Sound zooplankton monitoring, with I think is back to slide 6. And so this was something that also came up in the governor's initiative to try to do something more for southern resident killer whales. And I didn't quite get what you said about why this is being asked for more. And I wonder if it's in the same vein as the Chinook prey enhancement business. So could you repeat why Puget Sound zooplankton monitoring is an add-on and how much that is?
Yes, Commissioner McIsaac, this was, it's been a project that's been underway for a number of years to look at zooplankton productivity in Puget Sound. It has previously, some funding was through Department of Natural Resources. We're submitting a grant through EPA and we're hoping that we'll have funding for it the first fiscal year. So this amount is for year two. And Morgan, do you know offhand the amount for that particular component of the DECPAC?
Put it up right now.
Okay, thanks. Well, what we could do, Commissioner McIsaac, is circle back with on that particular dollar amount.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Go ahead, Commissioner Anderson.
A couple of points. First, just affirming what Commissioner McIsaac mentioned with regard to the the difficulty of talking about the future while we're looking at the present and making reductions. That's an obvious difficult task to do. But having said that, I mean, that's the challenge for us to try to scope things out and continue to bring things forward with an eye to the future. So, and who knows where things may go. It's a necessary and a good function, but it is awkward and difficult. With regard to marine mammals, it's hard to know for me whether or not what is being proposed here is enough or comprehensive enough with regard to the kinds of work that might or be able to be done in a kind of a comprehensive policy thrust with regard to pinnipeds. In particular, I think we need to have more discussion about that in order to kind of maybe more fully frame that up. And I'd be interested in having those discussions. It might be helpful over the course of the next few weeks, both in terms of framing up the blue sheet as well as helping to work the budget perspective. Secondly, I wanted to call out the, I think it was in the north of, I think it was the north of Falcon Habitat commitments. And I believe that is on Stillaguamish compliance. I guess I would like to somehow bring out that this issue is right at the heart, along with habitat improvements and in the way of restoring the Stillaguamish system. I think the our North of Falcon issue hits that every year. Our Chinook management plan hits that and has precluded it from moving forward. And so I guess whether it's in this particular section or if it's in the capital budget, I don't know. I'm a little naive or a little bit inexperienced with regard to where some of these things should be at, but it appears to me that we really need to keep our eye on, on a lot of these North Falcon commitments, the Chinook management plan commitments and the like, so that we can kind of break through the juggernaut we find ourselves at.
Matt, Vice Chair, Commissioner Anderson, yeah, thanks for the comment. I think kind of three main areas that you touched on. We talked a little bit about the sequencing and prioritization of trying to keep funding for the and not proceed with the reductions and then with the enhancements. And a lot can happen between now and May. If, for instance, the federal government provides a stimulus package to backfill the loss of state general fund across the union, that could completely erase $23.5 million of our problem statement right there. So I think it is important to have a suite of different packages where, the swing right now is we could be cut $30.2 million or we have a request up to $14.8 million. So it's a $50 million swing between now and May of what we're looking at in our budget. I know that I'll share with you as we went through and looked at different enhancements. We did look at for marine mammals, increasing work we're doing in Puget Sound and Outer Coast, whether it's annual surveys for population estimates or continuing to make the progress we've been doing on some of our diet analysis to understand pinniped predation impacts on out-migrating smolts and returning adults. And so we have some of that work costed out. And if that's something that the commission, you know, would like to see us add into that enhancement package, that would be pretty straightforward for us to proceed with. So I'll check to see if there's any other questions. And then Morgan, by chance, did you have a chance to look up the, either could speak to the North of Falcon habitat commitments based on some of the conversations you've had with Ron and Jeff, as well as the zooplankton study?
Let me hit that zooplankton study first and give me a thumbs up if my sound sounds okay here. It looks like that zooplankton, you know, we're trying to figure it out, but it's mostly in the second fiscal year, because that first fiscal year will already have a grant funding. And so when that falls off, $300,000 per fiscal year. And I think there's a little bit of a climb and a difference between the grant, but that's about the order of magnitude for that one.
Thank you.
Nate, would you repeat some of the questions about or help me out with the...
I just wondered if you could share any of the other specifics on the North of Falcon habitat commitments.
Yeah.
As the conversations you've had with Jeff and Ron.
Absolutely. This has been really interesting to sort of watch, you know, our scientists sort of talk about some of this piece, but it's really about how do we step up or find monitoring that will help us prove or disprove where habitat enhancement or recovery is, it's really about a performance metric or accountability for some of the restoration work and items that we're doing and some of the stuff. So some of the questions are about freshwater productivity, and a lot of it is attempting to find these rivers and watersheds where we're already doing some of this monitoring work, but how do we lift it up in a few of these cases so that we have maybe a control group where we're testing something, or the opportunity to use new technology that allows us to really, really answer some of these really difficult questions that we think will help us both, you know, discuss items at like allocation at North of Falcon, and also about how do we go after wild recovery. So there's a few different items in here. The largest dollar amount is associated with this sort of fish in, fish out work, which I like because it's FIFO and that's an accounting term too. Some of it is also about trying to set metrics and accountability around some of these areas. And then there's a piece associated with compliance that was heavily discussed during North of Falcon that has a really, you know, if we're building around stream watersheds like the Stillaguamish, for example, and we want to make sure that we have excellent compliance inspection out there to make sure we're not damaging fish life.
Okay, so this is Commissioner Baker. I'm just watching the clock. The hard part of this discussion is yet to come. So let's just try to move this along a little bit.
You bet. So now we'll walk through the proposed reductions. These really come into three different kinds of categories here. Next slide, Morgan. First, why are we proposing the cuts? This is an assignment from OFM. People ask, well, gosh, are these going to be cuts taken today? No, there's still 10 more months and a lot of conversations to play out before July 1st of 2021. And if it's not on the list, does it mean that it can't be cut? Well, no, the legislature might direct us to make cuts elsewhere. As well as even in our list of enhancements, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we'll be seeing new work coming our way, and hopefully it's not an unfunded mandate and it has the dollars associated with being able to achieve those tasks. Just a quick reminder of our timeline, we'll be submitting the budget to September. Governor's budget will come out in December. Legislature will deliberate on their budget all through January through April, and then the governor budget will enact the budget in May. So a lot of steps, a lot of different gates that can happen as we talk through these different reductions. The governor's Office of Financial Management directed us to look at 15% reduction of state general fund. I believe that will create a menu of items that hopefully exceeds where what is needed from the balancing of the budget and the revenue outlook, but that'll allow them to prioritize where to take cuts rather than just do a proportional cut across all state agencies not protected by the Constitution. Our target's 23.5 million, but we're also, we'll walk through those items, but we're also seeing some reductions in other fund sources as well. So we'll walk through those. And then as we discussed earlier, the indirect is included within each proposal. So when you see a reduction for trout hatcheries, for instance, there is a commensurate reduction to the agency's administrative services, whether that's executive management or other support functions within the director's office, like the budget office, government, public affairs, HR, the regional director's offices, et cetera. So our total list is almost $31 million. The first category, that first block of eight rows is for the $23.5 million of the planning exercise for state general fund loss. Then you'll see three decision packages there associated with different fund sources that are called partially flexible. We can use that funding for a variety of activities within the scope of the grants. And then the last item is we have a couple grants, Mitchell Act, and then a grant from the National Park Foundation for hatcheries. And so the money can only be associated with those hatcheries. And so when there is a shortfall, that's where the reductions occur. So we'll go into more detail of each one of these next. For the $5.2 million reduction for salmon and steelhead production, this would include closure of six salmon and steelhead hatcheries that are listed on the slide. It represents about 7% cut to our salmon production statewide. This reduction also has a component that would reduce our ability to do hatchery operations and maintenance and any kind of critical repairs associated with the operations of those facilities. This also includes a reduction for some of the coho and chum salmon production that was associated with the new investment under the killer whale appropriations that we received for this current biennium. Next slide. This next reduction would be a loss of $2 million of state general fund, which would result in the closure of four hatcheries for trout hatcheries that combined produce about 12% of our statewide trout production. This is kind of the bread and butter of license sales and fishery participation. So we're well aware of those impacts, and that will be one of the main talking points, certainly with the legislature as well, about while this is a pretty modest investment, $2 million, look at the economic return on that investment and the money that actually comes back to the state general fund. So we hopefully this cut would not proceed. Similar to the salmon hatcheries, this would also have a reduction in our ability to address hatchery maintenance and repairs. We have almost a $6 million reduction to fisheries opportunity and management. Whether this would be impacting our ability to do Dungeness crab outreach and derelict gear removal, reducing the frequency of our bottom trawl surveys. Currently, we do those annually. We would shift those to every other year. We would reduce our ability to treat lakes in eastern Washington for rotenone to prepare those lakes for trout planting. It'd reduce our ability to do Puget Sound early winter steelhead monitoring. It would impact some of the funding we talked about earlier that we're trying to get a correction on in the maintenance level side, to actually have a policy level reduction of our ability to monitor recreational fisheries in the Columbia and the Snake. As well as this package would have a reduction of five officers. And so let's walk through that just briefly. Even though here it's couched as you know, primarily fisheries patrols, when the agency actually makes a reduction in an enforcement FTE, that becomes one less officer in that detachment. And that officer might do certainly fisheries patrol, but would also be doing things like big game patrol or investigating poaching on non-game, general law enforcement authority, patrolling department lands. So all of those suite of activities are ultimately impacted when we lose an enforcement officer. Next slide. We're looking at a $2.4 million reduction in our warm water game fish management program. What this would do is essentially a bank shot where we'd have to ask the legislature to, for the revenue that we have that's specified for warm water game fish, to be able to remove that restriction, allow us to use it for other work, and then we would be cutting the ability that we currently have for managing game fish. Warm water game fish. So this would result in the closure of the Meesburg hatchery, as well as reduce some of our staff capacity where we're actually applying for water access grant proposals to provide additional opportunities for anglers to go afield. We have a package for $1.2 million that would result in the reduction of 3 FTEs in our enforcement program, with an emphasis on southern resident killer whale vessel patrols, and then 2 FTEs associated with the initiative I-1401 that has us doing more work on global wildlife trafficking. It's a long list of reductions. I'm sorry, folks, but we'll keep going here. We have $2.7 million of reduction of land operations and maintenance. This would include FTEs that deal with our property management and some of our real estate contracts. We would weaken our ability to engage the public on wildlife area planning. We would be reducing our Western Washington pheasant release program. We have a user fee that pays for about 75% of the cost for rearing and releasing pheasants. So this would just remove the delta that we are supplementing with other fund sources that are outside of the fee. Similar to the fish management decision package, this package includes a reduction of 3 enforcement FTEs. And similarly, while we describe it in terms of lands patrols, there would be a suite of activities that would be impacted. Our next reduction, still within this $23.5 million of our 15% of our state general fund, would be a reduction to our conservation work at $2.7 million. We have staff that work with local communities on restoration projects and try to bring in federal money to do good work. So we'd lose capacity there. We would also lose some of our capacity to engage in timber harvest and stream flow arenas. And it would reduce our ability to do science and some of our GIS work, geographic information systems work, where we're spatially mapping species of greatest conservation need and priority habitats and species to inform local land use planners, whether they're doing their critical area ordinances or zoning. So this would hinder our ability in that arena. We have a $1.3 million grant program for citizen science and for volunteers doing fish and wildlife work. This would result in a reduction in that program. It's the last deck pack on the list here on this slide. And so let me pause there. That is the block of the $23.5 million of general fund state reductions before I move into some of the other fund sources, just to see if there's any questions there.
There's Commissioner Thorburn and then Commissioner McIsaac.
I'm back on the call.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Nate. So I was thinking of Rod Kriebel's testimony this morning that we carefully consider our important responsibility for fish and wildlife conservation, and that we carefully consider those cuts that are going to impact that. And if I go back to that graph, early on in your presentation that showed, and you don't need to find it, but it showed funding by category, and it pointed out that really the lowest of those bars were our conservation work, the land stewardship, the terrestrial and aquatic ecosystem. So we have cuts in those areas, and I'm just wondering, proportionately, if we put these cuts on those bars, are we proportionately cutting conservation at a greater amount than our other kinds of activities? Because I really support what Rod said, that these are our key activities. And I would want to be really careful about excessive cuts in those areas.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Thorburn. We can go back and kind of look at that from a proportional standpoint. I'll share with you that when we were looking at generating these cuts to meet the target, we set a planning level that exceeded that amount and asked program directors to identify areas. And then we ranked those as an executive management team. And I want to do the arithmetic, but I don't believe conservation is impacted proportionally or even at a greater proportion. I think this was an area that tended to be protected, given that the work not only helps us with the non-game management, but also benefits game and other fishing opportunities. And so, yes, there is a reduction here, but there was some other choices that were even more difficult that we did not opt to take.
I see three hands up. I just got back on the call. I don't know who was first, but I see Commissioner Graybill, Commissioner Anderson, and Commissioner McIsaac. If I missed someone, I apologize, but you folks take it in whatever order you see fit.
I guess I'll go just very quickly. I think on slides 13 and 14, it indicates a 32% reduction in hatchery maintenance that would, it says, increasing the chances of catastrophic failures. That should be chances of?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Sorry for the typo. Yes.
No, that's fine. I didn't want to get past that. I really think that these hatchery cuts are really striking at the home of the heart of our major source of funding is in license sales. And also our hatcheries are in a mode of, in many cases, sustaining or supplementing important species of fish. And not only would this reduce opportunity for commercial and recreational fishing, but also our ability to sell licenses when we reduce the amount of fish that are being produced, both inland and on Puget Sound and on the coast. I mean, just wherever these occur, it's going to create ill will with our primary constituent group. And you did mention, Nate, that this potentially would not happen because they return revenue. Is that correct?
Well, that would be the arguments that we would want to make, sir.
Well, we can only hope, but I'll let some other people speak to this.
Commissioner Anderson, then Commissioner McIsaac. Commissioner Anderson, do you need to unmute?
Yeah, I probably do. That would help. Sorry about that. My question concerns slide 16, and a lot of those look, I believe, are programs that might be associated with federal programs, like aquatic lands, et cetera. And I'm wondering to what extent these kind of proposed cuts have on the overall capability or capacity of these programs, given the potential cost sharing or the implications to cost sharing?
Thanks, Commissioner Anderson. We're just looking at the direct costs for us. I think that the match component for some of our grants, we have enough flexibility to make sure that we wouldn't have that kind of ancillary impact that you're describing.
So is it like, for instance, on the conservation and the partnering, you got $2.7 million and $1.3 million. I assume that that's a, you know, that's percentage of those programs, but to what extent might those actually be greater than like 15%? For instance, would those take out a particular program, or are those programs of sufficient size that these figures are only 15%?
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner Anderson. I think I understand what you're saying. The conservation package would be a proportion of our investment there. The partnering with volunteer program, that would terminate that program. So it'd be a 100% reduction in that particular area.
That's the ALEA count.
It would result in a fund shift, but yes, that ALEA money is partially flexible dollars. It would be used to fund other activities. We would then reduce, cut the volunteer grant program, and then submit a reduction of state general fund because of the fund shift from ALEA.
Do you have a specific list of what those programs are, those grants?
That's eligible for ALEA?
That have received ALEA funding or do receive? Yes.
Yes, sir. We can provide that to you.
I'd be interested.
Thank you. May I make one potential adjustment there? I don't know if my sound is coming through. While we're not worried about some of the matching funds for any of these, in a couple of these cases, for example, the conservation package and the warm water game fish package, there's a chance that we won't have the capacity to apply for some of these grants, either on the restoration side with conservation or maybe some of the water act from the warm water game fish piece. So not a direct, you know, proportional correlation, but maybe a missed opportunity.
Okay.
If I may, I wanted to follow up a little bit on Jim's question. When you're speaking of ALEA, is our hunter safety program in any kind of jeopardy? Is it part of this list that might be potentially be cut?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Graybill, no, we do not have reductions for Hunter Ed, either in the $23.5 million of state general fund or even within, we are going to see a reduction in Pittman-Robertson, but that was not a work area that we had flagged for reduction there.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner McIsaac, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me start off by saying, Nate, you said, sorry, there's a lot of cuts here, and I could hear the tone in your voice. I just want to make sure you understand that we understand you're not advocating for any cuts, and you're the messenger here, and you don't have to be sorry about your professional presentation. It's excellent. So, and I'm going to withhold all my perspectives on commission approval of any of this until after public comment, and maybe then get back to what about approving this or some alternatives. But I have two technical questions maybe. On slide 14, I'm going to use that to try to phrase a question about sales tax. And in the first BPEG meeting, some of the people that testified made an excellent point about, I don't know if they use cutting off your nose to spite your face, but something along the lines, why cut something that's going to generate sales tax? I mean, lack of sales tax is why we're in this problem right here. And try to make my mind and feel of whether or not that's appropriate here. I see $61.2 million in annual economic value for the trout production. And if I just multiply that by an 8% sales tax, it comes about $5 million. So cut $2 million and then cut another $4.9 or $5 million because of the impacts to the state on sales tax. So to try to help the commission decision-making, I thought you guys were going to try to come up with some sort of a sales tax index or something that would go along with each one of these to see what is the impact on this business aspect of whether or not you're cutting something that is actually sending things in a spiral down instead of somewhere else. And I went through the presentation. I didn't see any kind of a sales tax association with these cuts. Is that something that's going to come up later, or have you not been able to prepare that yet, or what?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McIsaac, I think the best that we could do is kind of the back of the envelope math that you just came up with there. So a couple things to share. First off, there's a biennial number here, which is the biennial reduction of $2 million. And then there's the statement of $61 million of broader economic impact. So actually, it's even more striking than what you just described, and that it's $1 million per year trout investment that results in $60 million of broader economic activity. That economic value, I believe, is derived from looking at angling participation on trout production. And so they look at our license, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service looks at our license sales and number of days anglers are fishing, and then looking at the average cost per day an angler might spend. So for instance, I'm going to ballpark the numbers, but it might be like $40 per day for an angler and like $60 or $70 per day on a hunter, something along those lines. So that's how that math is generated. I don't have the information to translate that to a state general fund benefit beyond what you did of taking 8% of that amount.
Okay. Well, maybe we can, I'll get a lot of envelopes out here to try to figure out what goes with where. Let's see, on slide 13, there's a 7.2% number reduction for the salmon and steelhead hatchery reductions of 7.2 of the statewide salmon production. Now, a lot of the statewide salmon production is mitigation facilities from power companies, the federal government, or Mitchell Act, or something like that. If you did a percent of just the general fund, is this going to come up to something around 15%, as you mentioned on the conservation side of things, or is this cut more out of our general fund investment in hatcheries than 15%?
I don't know offhand, and I think I'd want to understand what you're wanting to have as the numerator and the denominator for that analysis.
Yeah, I guess the numerator would be 5.2, and the denominator, the numerator would be how much is produced by the state general fund money, and the denominator would be the total money put into general fund money, not federal and power company money. And if you don't have a number there, we're at this early stage of considering things, but that's kind of my question is going to get down to, are we cutting 25 to 50% of our salmon and steelhead general fund hatchery production so that we don't confuse it with mitigation money and federal money and the rest of it?
Don, can I ask you a question? You had spoken about holding your powder until after public comment. I don't know what public comment you were referring to, so maybe we could clarify that.
Oh, okay. Let's see. This is agenda item 7. Okay. So there is no public comment on this.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. I presume since the public had not seen this before that there would be a public comment period. Well, let me then just say I'll hold off my questions until the end of the presentation. And at the end, I think what the staff is asking is, what does the commission think about this whole package? And I've got some concerns about the whole package, but I will save those from the end until the end.
I feel the same way. I apologize for having you step out. I think we're a little bit behind schedule, so I'm going to try and push that along. I don't see any other hands up. Have I missed somebody?
Yes, Chair Carpenter, if I could make a quick comment, please.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. So returning to the ALEA volunteer program, it's a program that is near and dear to my heart. It is really sort of the department's community science outreach program, and it's a very visible means of reaching our constituents and showing what we do. So in that sense, to me, it's a really tragic loss. The ALEA funding, as Nate said, is somewhat flexible. So we're not losing any ALEA funding. We're going to shift it to other activities within the department that can be supported by ALEA and free up general fund from those programs, as Nate explained. The point I want to make, though, is Kelly reminds us that all these proposals are ugly. And if we remove one favorite area, it's simply going to be replaced by another ugly choice. And another point about ALEA, we estimate that we get about a 3x return on investment with that volunteer program. It's another tragedy about this loss. I mean, the volunteer activities that go on that support our work with that, it's a sad loss. But we have to keep in mind, we need to come up with these cuts, and any trade that we make is going to be another ugly.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Anyone else? So let's see, item 7 was a briefing only, no decision. Am I right on that, Nate?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I just have a couple other category reductions that shift away from general fund state to make the commission aware of.
Okay, continue.
Okay, so the last 4 packages here have to do with shortfalls that we're seeing in other grant sources. So setting the coronavirus pandemic aside, which is hard to do, but even if we didn't have any of those economic impacts, we would still be looking at additional reductions. So Pittman Robertson is the excise tax on firearms and ammunition. Originally, we're looking at a $6 million shortfall for next biennium. We're paying attention to both the early kind of forecasts from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as just seeing consumer response to the pandemic of people buying ammo and firearms. So hopefully, we've got this number kind of right size and might only look at about a $3 million reduction. Maybe that will slide further. And once we see the updated apportionment from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we would certainly talk to budget staff in the governor's office and legislature to try to true up that amount. But from what we know today, what we would be looking at about a $3 million shortfall, which would impact our ability to do big game surveys and monitoring, reduce our seasonal staff that do the knock and talks with landowners trying to provide hunting access, and we would be reducing our winter elk feeding program by 50%. Dingell Johnson tends to be pretty flat funding. This is the excise tax on fishing tackle and boats, et cetera. We are looking at about a $900,000 or $800,000 shortfall. This would result in the closure of the OMAC hatchery and the Cowlitz Mayfield net pens in Region 5, in addition to some of the other trout decision packages. This would also have an impact on our ability to do emergency repairs and maintenance. A lot of this shortfall is because, again, kind of a national decline in angling participation, as well as our purchasing capacity has dropped over time as we continue to have legislatively approved cost increases. We've got to figure out where we can continue to fund core work, and then here would be some areas that unfortunately would be at risk. The next one is $1 million shortfall in personalized license plates. This money goes to the management of non-game wildlife. Personalized license plate revenue had gone into effect in 1973. To balance the funding in this account, we would be reducing our ability to manage our biodiversity data in as well as some of our staffing that we do for landscape connectivity planning, as well as reducing our wildlife vet support for non-game species. The last category is two grants that we're seeing a shortfall. The Mitchell Act decline would result in the closure of the Tootle and Skamania hatcheries. And then we have some funding from the National Park Foundation to operate the Elwha hatchery. That funding dries up in September of 21. So those three hatcheries would be at risk. Next slide, Morgan. So we've mentioned this a few times. We're very early in the process. We're wanting to start doing outreach. The director and I we briefed the Northwest Indian Fish Commission, the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. We had a large stakeholder webinar a few weeks ago. I think we had invited 80 partners to that. We have another one scheduled in August to really walk through the same detail Morgan and I are presenting today, but also a chance for those stakeholders to interact with program leadership and understand the nature of the consequences. We're entering into a period here of a long stretch of uncertainty for staff that were contacted. You know, we're looking at least 90 to 100 FTEs are at risk. Those staff have been notified, and we won't know budget decisions until next May. And so that's just want to bring that to your all's attention as our commission to where that this is pretty brutal. Thinking about managing this level of impacts, and we're trying to share information out with the public and with you as often as we can. So I think that concludes our remarks. There's a slide here of just some next steps of that process that we've reviewed already, and happy to take any other questions and hoping that the commission also can provide guidance on where we're at on this particular phase before we bring this package for a decision back to you at your August 21st meeting.
Commissioner McIsaac has his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll be brief. The slide that had the Tootle hatchery, the Elwha hatchery, and the Skamania hatchery. So on the Elwha hatchery, I don't know if the wild fish are moving up the river to the point where we don't need a hatchery there, and that has something to do with the closure there. If that's the case, then I would not advocate for continuing the Elwha hatchery. The Tootle and the Skamania hatcheries, let me ask that those were not included in the ad package. So some of the things that are in the ad package, again, fit into some good ideas. The Tootle hatchery rears a fall Chinook strain that is good for killer whales. It also is a facility that is the repository of the early run co-host genetic strain that turns south out of the Columbia River. Most of the other late running coho turn north, and it's a significant genetic strain. It returns very early and has been very valuable to a lot of different places. So that one has a lot of concern to me. So my question is this one that fits the rationale and is appropriate to put into the ad category?
Yeah, boy, Commissioner McIsaac, great, great question. And I'm realizing I failed to mention just a key talking point on all four of these particular decision packages. If each one of these is a reduction, that's going to happen. What we're asking here, what we're doing is submitting this to the legislature, is we're saying, for instance, for Pittman Robertson's, drop our federal authority by $2.8 million, but we're asking for $2.8 million to backfill so that this the impacts to Pittman Robertson would not be felt. We would be level funded, but it would be coming from a different color of money. Reducing PR, backfill with state general fund. That's true for each of these items. So I apologize, I failed to mention that and make that very clear. But yes, we're looking at Mitchell Act funding is dropping. This package is actually asking to restore that Mitchell Act funding.
Okay, so these are proposed reduction backfills.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, yeah.
Any other questions? Does that wrap up number seven, Nate?
Yes, well, sir,
Mr. Chairman, in terms of his, if we're now into the discussion of approval, or as Nate said, any guidance, so that when this comes up for a decision on August 21st, is there any more information needed? If that's where we're at, let me just say that I am still uncomfortable with all of these hatchery and fishery closures because of the economics, for one thing, and for a variety of reasons. I won't go into all of them. And so I know that the presentation said that there was an exercise that exceeded the 15%, and this is what the staff is recommending. We're not seeing what else was on the list. We've got a zero-based budget exercise where we could see some of these. So it ends up being, what are some alternatives to just approving this package here before giving it the policy blessing? And so I know it's an enormous tab here. When I look at these things that I've scratched down that fit into the category of closing fisheries or closing hatcheries, it's about $16 million. Yeah. But I think, for at least for one commissioner, before I could get comfortable with this, I would like to see some alternatives. And I've heard some really good arguments here from the staff that would be advanced to the legislature and to the various folks. And the director spoke to that as well. And these are folks who have demonstrated a high degree of success in the very most recent budget challenge of bringing home the bacon. So, I mean, we've got some excellent people here. Yes. But this is some high-risk poker here that if they happen to say, yes, go ahead and cut those, I just don't know that I am not comfortable with this particular suite of things at the moment and would like to see some alternatives. That's my perspective.
Thank you, Commissioner McCullough. Commissioner Baker has a question.
It's more of a comment on Don's comment. This is always the dicey part of budgeting, which is when you're at zero sum, and you're not comfortable with some of the reductions on the list, what could you add and subtract to make you comfortable with the package? But I'd like to say that I don't think it's a good idea to get on a webinar like this and discuss alternatives, if for no other reason, because there are jobs attached to all of those alternatives, and it would just be further demoralizing to have them publicly discussed. I think, I hate to say this, but I think if any one of us wants to talk about this more in detail, we should talk to Nate or Morgan or Kelly or Amy or somebody and figure out if there are alternatives that would make more sense. But I don't think doing it in a big public forum is a good idea.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Okay. We are now going to close out that agenda item 7. No